Welcome to the My Walk, My Way podcast.
They wanted to take away my darkness.
But that will take away my light.
They wanted to take away my darkness.
But I've learned to make it mine. I learned to love it over time.
I've learned to make my shadow shine.
Hello, everybody. This is Laura, and today I am excited to be talking with you and talking with a fascinating guest. Fascinating. She has been a serial self-employed, right, individual most of her life, lives in the Wisconsin area in a treehouse with her two sons, and wrote the chapter in the book called The Big Wheel of Business. She is a lonely adrenal interpreter endotype. And she is me. today is a solo podcast, but I am going to not be talking to you. We're going to talk some endotype stuff because let's be serious, but we are going to be talking about the lessons in my endotype, today we are going to be talking about my chapter in the My Walk, My Way book and a little bit of endotype stuff too, as it has to do with the lonely adrenal interpreter. So my chapter, it starts with a metaphor, right? The big wheel of business. When I was young, I was a tomboy, outside all the time, riding bikes, playing in the swing set, playing baseball, going fishing, all of those things. And I had a big wheel. Now, some of you of a certain age will remember the big wheel, and I even see that they're making a resurgence right now. But a big wheel is a tricycle that is made entirely out of plastic. The wheels, the seat, everything is plastic. And I didn't have the Barbie pink and white plastic big wheel. I had the red and black, I think it was black, maybe blue, Superman colored, superhero colored big wheel. It was not new to me. That was the situation that was very true for our families. A lot of the toys, a lot of the clothes, a lot of the things that we had were hand-me-down stuff. And that big wheel was pulled right out of the trash by my uncle, who was a trash collector at the time. Got a few bikes that way, by the way. But I loved that big wheel. And my cousin, who was 3 years older than I was able to ride a two-wheeler. We would ride up and down her block, me and my big wheel, she and her two-wheeler, and we had a blast. Just super fun time. One of the awesome things about the big wheel was you were not only just the the gas, right? Pedal as fast as you can, but you were also the brake. But it didn't have brakes. You simply had to lock your legs and stop pedaling, and it would to a stop, right? That plastic scraping on the pavement. And if you threw your hips just right, you could do a 180. Lock your legs, throw your hip to the side, and the back end of that big wheel would come around and it would do a 180 turn as you were scraping the plastic across the pavement. In the story, I think I talk about how I rode that big wheel so much so frequently that I wore the front big wheel right off of it, all the way down to, like, the plastic was gone. Big holes in the wheel. That's when we had to get rid of the big wheel. I love that big wheel. So when I was sitting in a networking meeting with Polkadot Powerhouse, a networking company that is national. If you are a woman in business, you should check out Polka Dot Powerhouse. And the speaker, who I knew for a long time, my friend Teresa, who was a coach, started talking about riding tricycle and started talking about the big wheel. I had a total flashback to the big wheel that I used to love. Her illustration, though, was, are you applying the big wheel to your life, to your business, right? And do you have all the parts working together? So, you know, a lot of times in business, right, people either grind, like work hard, do the work, grind, 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 go all in. Or they're doing more of the like, let me feel my way through this. Now, in my many years of business, I had tried both the grind and the hustle and the let's go slow, let's grow slow, let's feel our way through this. And Teresa's point was that there's something bigger than us, the big wheel up front, that kind of leads the show, that leads the business, that being God, source, whatever you want to call it, the bigger thing. But in that moment, I wasn't paying attention to most of what Teresa was teaching. Sorry, Teresa, if you're listening. I was having my own moment inside of that speech, inside of that talk she was giving, of frustration in business. I had closed a business about 3 years, 4 years before that. I was already working and developing the endotype formula that you've heard me talk about on this podcast multiple times, but it wasn't really taking off. It wasn't really going. And I had done the hustle thing, the hustle in business. How many of you have done the hustle in business where it's like, well, can we do this appointment at 6 o'clock tonight? Sure. And inside you're thinking, well, that's dinner time for my kids. So I guess, I don't know, we'll have to rearrange our schedule and I'll lock them in their room and maybe I can do this appointment at 6 o'clock. It's super inconvenient, but it's business, right? It's business. You get that, the customer's right. Can you do this appointment this weekend? Sure. Oh, I have to rearrange my leisure time, my recuperation time, my spiritual time. I really don't want to do this, but it's business, right? It's business. Can you come speak at this event? Sure. We usually have 3 people there. Oh, man, this is not good use of my time, but I've said I agree to do it, so I'll do it. It's business. It's business, right? The hustle. Now, I burnt myself out completely on the hustle. So I wasn't going to do business like that again. I had been exercising this new business muscles, trying to do this, feel your way through, let it unfold, take one step at a time. And I felt really stuck. And I was really having a bad day. I had been having a series of very silent bad days. Now, if you are a business owner, you know exactly what I'm talking about. And if you're not a business owner, but working more of a career, more of a job, you also know what I'm talking about. Because there are those days where it's like, why am I doing this anymore? And you just feel lost. As a business owner, that's when those times of, you know what? I'll just go get a job come across. For me and my endotype, I had a specific couple of reasons why I was in that space at that time And why I'm not in an unsimilar space right now. It all comes full circle. Welcome to my self-therapy session. We'll go through this together, okay? Cool. Fabulous. My endotype, my parent piece of me, connects to significance. So that parent piece of us wants us to discern our own path, discern where it is that, right, place ourselves in the position to be able to honor our own, for me, and connect to my own significance. And yet, what we hear often is earn it. Are you earning your significance? Is this big enough, fast enough, impacting enough people, doing the things? That is something that I still struggle with hearing on the regular. This is a feeling that I still have on the regular. And in all reality, that parent piece, all it wants is for us, for me, to advocate, to position myself in my own position of significance. So after Teresa's talk, I said, you know what? I think it might be time for us to work together. And there were tears in that conversation. We sat down and figured, yep, okay, might be time for us to work together. She came out to my house and she asked me a question. And I've been asked this question several times since. And I always, we still get to learn the same lessons over and over again. And it's like, what do you want? So what do you want? When I am asked that question as a small business owner in this capacity of discussing business and where life is going, I can clearly articulate what I want for my business. And that's usually my go-to. Well, I see this and I want this, and then there's this and then this, and then here's the plan and here's how it's going to be. And we're going to change branding and we're going to change the coaching industry. And Teresa said to me, that's really great of what you want for your business, but that wasn't actually my question. What do you want? Folks, fast forward a year and a half, 2 years later, and my coach, Jen Farley, asked me the exact same question. I had the exact same response. She asked me the exact same follow-up question, to which I started to cry because here I am doing it again. And she was like, okay, here's the tears. What's going on? Yep, doing it again. Because the way we are designed is the way we are designed. I am always going to have a craving for significance and am learning and getting better and better at understanding what that means. But that's where my old high school knee injury comes, right? Those old wounds hang out there. What I realized and am continuing to realize is that what I want may be different than what my business wants. Just let that sink in for a hot second. What I want and the life that I want may be different than the direction it feels like this business wants to go. So that's then where I wrestle with what's my part in this. Because for me, the other craving that I have is around identity. Who am I then in this business? If I am not the CEO, if I am not the chief director of the business, what role do I have? Who am I inside of this? So if any of you as interpreters out there, like, you're going to get this, right? This question of like, who am I? Who do I need to be? In my life, I had adapted frequently. And again, in my Walk My Way chapter, I talk about this fact that those with identity cravings very frequently try on identities like costumes. Now, that's different than those that I have observed who don't have identity on their protective side. It's not a craving for them in their endotype. They are different people throughout the day. They're like, okay, this is my friend and this is who I am with my friend and this is my business and this is who I am in my business. And they're very guarded when it comes to their identity and they don't let it show. Not for somebody who has identity, not for me. And what I have observed for people who have identity on their protective side, we change our whole self, our whole life around the identity that we think we need to have right now. That's confusing and exhausting. And prior to, right, this conversation that I had with Teresa, where she's like, what do you want? I had closed a business. That business had become a large part of my identity. And not only was I closing a business at that point, I was also going through my divorce. So my relationship was not there anymore. So the whole identity of wife, no longer there. The identity of two-parent family for my children, no longer there. The identity of, you know, like anytime you go through a divorce, there are other people who this divorce affects, like your friends, your family groups, feel like they need to take sides or they feel like they don't want to take a side. So they just drop out of the picture completely, which then affected my identity. I'm closing a business, affected my identity. I felt lost. And in that lost, though, there was an opportunity to redefine and to rediscover who I was and what I wanted to do, to design my life around who I was and what I wanted to do with these years of my life. What does that have to do with the big wheel, Laura? Well, see, on my big wheel, I had that signature 180 move. Whoosh, spin that big wheel right around. And yet, one of the times that I did that, fell right off it. The whole thing tipped over. And I got what in our family was called a skin peel. It's a lot like what it sounds like, right? It's that scrape that all the kids get on the concrete. It's a skin peel. And you know what happens to a kid after they get a skin peel? They don't want to do that same activity again, right? So I was never going to ride that big wheel again as a child until my cousin was like, come on, let's go ride bikes. And I was like, do you not see the skin peel that's still a scab on my leg? I am not doing that. And she was like, well, I'm going for a ride. See ya. And that pull, that impulse to go back to the thing that was so fun became bigger than the impulse and the pull to say, I'm never doing that again. That hurt me. In business, we have failures. If you're a business person, you are aware of this already. If you're a career person, you might not be aware at how difficult being a business person really is. But to you business people, I want to remind you, we chose this. We chose it because it was fun. We chose it because we enjoy it. And if you no longer enjoy it, that's okay. Go get a job. Go back to the bank. Go back to the gym. Go back to the marketing department. Go back to the sales job. Go back. And there's no shame. Don't hear me say go back and that'll be your failure. No, just make a different choice. It's okay to go back. Don't make being in business such a large part of your identity like I did that it feels like identity loss when you can no longer do it. So for me, I got called back to business. I got called back to that big wheel, but I've chosen to do it differently now. I understand that for me, I enjoy, I kind of enjoy the boring life. I like to sit on my deck. I like to go for a drive. I like to drink coffee with friends. I like to go kayaking. I live in the woods. I like to go on a hike. And even more recently, I am realizing that there is this element to me, and I'm not sure if it's all interpreters or if this is just, I'm not sure if there's an endotype connection, but there is a book out right now called Bittersweet. And my friend, Brené Brown, she is not aware that we are friends yet, but I know we're friends. Let's be serious. Brené, on her podcast, Unlocking Us, interviewed the author, Suzanne Cain, of the book Bittersweet that's just coming out, about some people being kind of melancholy. This bitter sweetness that we move through life with, and accepting that we're not the like, woohoo, yeah, everything is awesome, everything's cool when you're part of the team. That some people, and many people, experience regular, like, this is just kind of my everyday, is this bitter sweet space. This melancholy. It doesn't mean I don't enjoy life. I laugh, belly laugh every day. I enjoy my life. And there's also this undercurrent of bittersweetness. So that's one of my new learnings that I'm sharing with you. And I highly recommend the Unlocking Us podcast. If you're listening to any other podcast besides my own right now, right here, listen to Unlocking Us. So what about my superpowers? On all the other episodes with the guests, I talk about the superpowers and how those show up and turn up. So one of my superpowers, the hero part of my endotype, connects with voice. You don't say. And you're doing a podcast? Really? However, whatever connects to our hero self, so for me, it's voice. And for you, if you're not an interpreter, it's another quality. It might be significance or power or something else. Whatever connects to the hero part of us, we have struggled with. We have had to complete the hero's journey. If you're familiar with that, it's a term in literature. It's become a term in coaching, the hero's journey. The hero, our young hero, sets out on a path and then struggle, coming to this point of like, aha, realization. And then there's the journey home of really exercising these new lessons, then being able to teach other people these lessons or help other people with these lessons. That's the hero's journey. I have had that journey with voice. Voice meaning advocating boundaries. I strongly believe we don't talk enough about setting boundaries with our business. Say no to Saturday. If Saturday is your day, say no to Saturday. For me, I don't frequently do evening meetings. If I am running a program that I feel like specifically works for only evening people, I may set aside an evening for 4 to 6 weeks. However, I just say no to a lot of evening appointments. You need to find and advocate for the boundaries in your career and business, right? It's okay for you to tell your coworkers who email you at 4:50 p.m. and want you to complete something before the end of the day at 5 o'clock. Thank you very much. I see your email. I will work on this right away tomorrow morning. Boundaries, advocating for those boundaries. And advocating for boundaries in relationships, right? Part of my hero's journey with voice has been understanding how to create and hold the boundary, hold being, right? I've always advocated for what I want. This is what I want. And then when it in a relationship, when somebody crosses the boundary, how do you have that conversation and still maintain the relationship, right? Because here's the other thing. I was real good at like, you crossed a boundary. No. And getting very demanding about it. But how do we use our voice to be able to advocate and potentially maintain the relationship and know when it's time to end the relationship? My other superhero is power. That's an umbrella word within the endotype formula for your personal power. Not power over other people. Personal power. In the Bible, there's a scripture that says you need to let your yes mean yes and your no mean no. Right? Make a choice and take responsibility for the choice. Now, that's not to say that you can't renegotiate, right, on your yeses and your nos. But it is to say that if you have said yes to something and then you find out, oh man, I am not going to be able to get this done, you need to go have that conversation and be like, I've made a mistake. I've committed to something that I cannot complete on time or on task. Here's a couple of the solutions I can see. Is there something else that I can do to be able to make this better, make this right, knowing that that first commitment I made doesn't work? That conversation is really difficult and awkward sometimes. Holding people to their word comes with power as well. So, and empowering other people. And it's what I have done inside of my gym, is empowering other people with their own choices, empowering other people inside of my life coaching business. And now in working with business owners and in working with life coaches, I empower them to take personal responsibility inside of their businesses, make their business theirs and their own. Get back on that big wheel and find your 180 spin move. Because my superpowers, right? Empowering other people, right? That's such an overused term in coaching. Everybody talks about how they're empowering people. this could turn into a rant. I see the yellow warning lights coming. Because there is a few terms in coaching. I think this is another podcast for another day, which I think is coming all around the coaching industry. But right, empowering is one of those words that's overused and that is not, I'm going to say it again, is not everyone's superpower. It happens to be my superpower. But for the majority of coaches out there, the majority, it is not their superpower. So find your signature spin move, right? Find your signature move that is your superpower. That is what I want everybody to walk away with from my chapter of My Walk My Way. Find your signature superpower based on who you are. And do I think the endotype formula is a great tool for that? Absolutely. Understand that you don't need to hustle for your significance, your worthiness, your belonging, your love, or whatever else it is that you crave and that you think you have to earn. That is not necessary. And you're simply, right, seeing that part of you, feeling that part of you in the wrong way, right? It's being misinterpreted. Understanding your design is able to help you understand that part better. And do things your own way. Do things your own way. There are too many coaches out there, too many experts out there, too many programs out there that are telling you, oh my gosh, I can absolutely help you succeed. All you have to do is become me and do it my way. No, friends, that's the whole purpose of the book, My Walk, My Way, was to help people understand that they can do it their own way. Love to have a conversation with you about more about this. So if you drop over into the My Walk, My Way community on Facebook, or find me over on my Endotype Formula Facebook or Instagram pages. I am very open to continuing this discussion. So please ask any questions that you have in regards to the book, in regards to the Endotype Formula, or in regards to the Lonely Adrenal Interpreter Endotype. And I will try and answer them as best I can. Thank you very much for listening. I hope you enjoyed my interview with me. They wanted to take away my Have a great darkness. Day. Take away my darkness. Thank you for joining us today on this episode of My Walk, My Way. To not miss an episode, please go to wherever you get your podcasts and hit that subscribe button. While you're there, it really helps us out a lot if you leave a review. To pick up a copy of the My Walk My Way book, you can get that wherever books are sold and order that. And on our mywalkmyway.com website, you can find special gifts that help you understand your endotype just a little bit better. I can't go today before I give special thanks to the band Gin, Chocolate, and Bottle Rockets for allowing us to use this beautiful music in their song, Shine. Check them out. The rest of their music is good too.